Hi, y'all. I've always wanted to get up on stage and go, hi, y'all. Hi. My name's Anita Smith. My husband, Lonnie, is in Haiti this week. He usually introduces our testimonies. But tonight, I will be doing the testimony on anger, which is a little strange when your husband asks you to do a testimony on anger. So he must... don't know if he thinks I know a lot about anger or if I have anger issues, but anyway, my story, I was married for the first time in 1986, divorced in May of 2000. My ex did marry in May of 2001, and then Lonnie and I remarried in July of 2004. As I watched the videos for this session a few years ago and studied through the On My Own section, I found myself realizing that the effects of anger was something I'd never really thought about. I think I'd thought about it, but I'd never thought of anger as something I needed to specifically address or resolve within myself. So although I went through my divorce almost 18 years ago, until a few years ago, I'd never really considered how anger and resentment was a result of a 14-year rocky marriage was affecting me and robbing me of my peace. There was indeed anger, anger from being controlled and intimidated within the marriage, as well as watching my ex violate the rules that I was committed to following during the divorce. Now, anger from being responsible while he was not, and resentment from feeling I really had no way to stop it. I sometimes wonder if I had attended something like divorce care all those years ago, if I would still have been battling anger 14 years later. So you might ask, well, why didn't I? Why didn't I do something like that? In my case, it was a couple of things. I was involved in a loving, Bible-believing church at the time of my divorce, but it was simply not a church that knew how to walk with me through the confusing emotions of divorce and what it can leave in its wake. I was also too quickly drawn into a really dysfunctional relationship with a coworker, and so the resulting chaos of that situation distracted me from dealing with the emotional fallout of an abusive relationship, and it really, in fact, added to it. Plus, I was now in the role of being a single mom. I was working full-time, taking care of the house that my daughter and I did remain in. So between all of this, life was just really busy and complicated. Now, John 8:44 says that Satan is the father of lies. Satan is good at bending the truth, so we either don't look at addressing our issues or focus so much on someone else's issues that we don't see our own. And during our divorce, my daughter's counselor once told me that I had probably already mourned my marriage, even before it was over. Not fully knowing what he meant, I accepted that theory, and it allowed me to think I was okay, and that I'd already overcome the events of those years. I told myself, I'm good. So I went on with the business of life, not realizing mourning and overcoming are really two very different things. The truth is, in my heart, I really knew those years had affected me. I just didn't realize how much. The experience of living with angry, controlling person caused me to build but have to express my own anger. Oppression took its toll, and then it really takes on a life of its own. When I look back now, I realize how these heavy, unresolved feelings were burdens I couldn't handle. They were changing anger to resentment and resentment to bitterness. My world became smaller and smaller as this animosity became so much of my focus. And at times, I tend to be cynical in nature. So add in unresolved anger, and you have a recipe for negativity, frustration, and irritability. I also remember experiencing anxiety like I really never had before, and a great deal of the time, I was just tired and wanted to be left alone. I was so adversely affected that it was really stealing my energy, my spirit, my joy. In fact, I used to be the perky girl. But I didn't want to be the moody woman who walks down the street, everybody scatters when they see her. Plus, I also realized my feelings of anger were at someone I rarely even saw anymore. And watching the video, a revealing moment really came for me, kind of at the end there, when the counselor asked, do you want to be healed? Because it really got my attention. I thought, that's me. Why hadn't I not wanted to be healed? Because as Les Carter referenced, sometimes we want to hold on to our anger. I did, even though I knew better. I felt it gave me some sort of control, and I equated holding on to my anger with holding my ex accountable. Somehow, I thought I was mysteriously punishing him. In addition, keeping a grievance really supported my feelings of superiority and pride, because after all, I was doing everything the right way, right? Now, think about this with me. How in the world did I think I was punishing him when all my stewing, all my self-righteousness was leaving me disappointed and me frustrated. And once those 5 minutes of feeling poisonously good about myself had passed, I was stuck feeling angry and lonely, just me and my pride. Now, we often say in divorce care that we don't want you to just feel better, because through a relationship with God, we desire you to experience true healing, healing that brings freedom and brings the abundant life that Jesus promises. That's why Philippians 2:12 says, work out your faith with fear and trembling. I had a choice, we all do, so I made the choice that I wanted to be healed. I wanted to be humbly grateful, not grumbly hateful. I wanted God to have victory over the anger that had been controlling me. He'd been victorious so many times in my life that I knew he would walk with me through this as well, because I was really holding tightly to an emotion that was just defeating me. Galatians 2:20 is really one of my favorite verses. I guess you could call it a life verse. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I learned this verse years ago, but also learned to understand the key is Christ who lives in me. God never meant for us to stumble alone through our pain and sin and healthy choices. And I knew I wouldn't be abandoned in my battle to process the anger, and I would find freedom from the pride that accompanied it. I prayed that Jesus would be my strength, and by the power of the Holy Spirit working in me, I would be free. And also because Romans 12:18, we're told, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Now, first for me, I had to mourn. The angry person is who I'd been for a long time, and you could get comfortable where you are, even when the place is hurtful to you and those around you. Now, I was letting go of anger, or what I thought was control. I couldn't change my ex-spouse's heart, but with God's help, I could recapture mine. Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I was also letting go of self-righteousness. That's a hard one. This was a big one for me. I'd always felt superior, thinking I was doing all the right things, especially in regards to parenting and supporting our daughter. Second, I had to put my focus on God. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I purposed in my heart, I made a decision to remember that God is good, regardless of the pain that someone else brought into my life. Was my anger legitimate? Yes. But I was so focused on my ex's behavior that I could not see the goodness of God. Holding a grudge was not what God desired for me, but unfortunately, I had expended energy, wasted time, and even sacrificed my health keeping a grip on it. I was never weaker physically, emotionally, or spiritually than when I chose to hold on to being angry. Now, the third was I prayed for understanding of my ex's behavior and what it would look like to offer him mercy, grace, and forgiveness. Now, this was another hard part, but I knew it was a part that would truly free me. I've heard that trying to process the why behind someone's behavior is not necessary, but for me it was foundational. Although it didn't excuse his actions, when I thought about the abuse he had grown up with and the result being destructive and unhealthy survival skills, I realized he was someone who would require a lot of mercy from God and even from me. This was also my daughter's dad, so what happened to him affected her. A key ingredient in this process was something I'm sure God put in motion. John Piper spoke at Watermark a few years ago. He preached a sermon called A Tender Word for Pharisees. In this message, he referenced one of Jesus' parables, the parable of the prodigal son, who, after demanding to have and then squandering his early inheritance, went back home, humbling himself before his father. The father threw a party for the returning son, which angered the older brother, because he'd remained at home working alongside his father and never received such a celebration. When the father saw and heard why his older son was angry, he said to him, "My child, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But it was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother was dead, and as he is alive, he was lost and is found." As I sat listening, I felt as though God was saying to me, "Anita, you are always with me. All that is mine is yours. But this ex of yours is lost, and he doesn't know me." You see, in 2 Peter 3:9, it says that the Lord is patient towards you, not wishing that any perish, but that all should reach repentance, and that included my ex-husband. I was humbled as my self-righteousness faded. I realized my ex was looking for love to fill a void, but unfortunately, without the love of a father, earthly or heavenly, everything he did in his desperate attempts to control only drove love away. Putting my focus on God and recognizing his goodness toward me reminded that I had accepted his gift of grace and forgiveness. And even though I may never hear an apology, I'm called to turn and offer that grace to others as well. Colossians 3:13 tells me, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord is forgiving you, so you must also forgive. I'm far from perfection. But for the first time in years, I know the hope and freedom that comes from really surrendering what was darkness in my heart and destructive behavior to God. I also have a clearer vision now to enjoy the roles God has given me as a wife, a mom, a grandmother, a friend, a daughter, a mentor, a follower of Jesus. Being able to fulfill his purpose in my life is an emotionally healthy and God-glorifying way, will not just be my healing, but God's victory and joy. And finally, I do know that a lot of you have been hurt by someone, and therefore you may be angry. Maybe you're even mad at yourself. If you're currently struggling this area, allow God to transform your thinking, guide your responses, direct your next steps. He promises to do that because the same God that created your heart is the same God who can heal it. And I'll just leave you with Philippians 1:6. I'm certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Thanks for listening. It's a hot topic, so we want to give you plenty of time in your groups. And it is 7:33, so you have about an hour, and you guys are dismissed. Thanks for that. Have a good evening.